wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Saving grace. Men concern themselves with what they have or wish for instead of what they need. Man has one great need. We all need grace, God's grace. You need it, and I need it too. Without it, we have no hope. For like Jacob of old, we must confess to God, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. Not a ray of light, not a breath of air, not a crumb of food, and not a drop of water. We are not worthy of the smallest of all God's multiplied mercies to us. I have learned that I'm not worthy, but how about you, neighbor? Are you worthy? That's why I give thanks for the food I eat, the water I drink, the fresh air I breathe, and the sunlight I enjoy. I don't deserve it. It is God's grace to me. What do? Do you pat yourself on the back and say, oh boy, you're a good one. No wonder you have so much. You deserve it, you do. Is this your Thanksgiving? And people are looking for something they often know not what. Suppose we saw a man approaching the courthouse. He is restless. He puffs a cigarette, but that doesn't help. He feels strange, and well he might, for he has committed a crime. And while he's out on bail, yet the day has come when he must face the court. His relatives have flattered him. His smart lawyer has tried to buoy him up. But that guilty man, whether he knows it or not, he needs grace. Unless the court bypasses its justice and shows him mercy, his home will be behind the bars for many a day. He needs grace. My Bible text is one of God's first lessons for us in our need of his grace. Hearken and let in the glorious truth of God's grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I hope you know who Noah was. You ought to, since you're either his son or daughter. But if you do not, then please read the first 9 chapters of the Bible. There you will learn your family history from its very beginning. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A mighty short verse, but very important too, and especially to us, for we are living in conditions materially, morally, and spiritually as in the days of Noah, as our Lord Jesus prophesied. Days when the outrages of human wickedness have reached an all-time high. The days before the flood prefigured these last days just before Jesus comes. Noah found grace, and we are living in the very dispensation of the grace of God. Here's another matter of interest. This is the first mention of grace in the Bible. And when God first uses a new word in the Bible, he surrounds it with the revelation of what it means. And incidentally, since this is your Grace and Truth program, this verse is very important to us. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace, how big that word is in God's revelation, and how much we need it. Grace, so much disputed over by the schools of religion. Our little verse will teach us a lot about grace, and if we try to read religious ideas into this verse, we'll see how wrong they are. So let us be prepared to both learn God's truth and unlearn our wrong notions. In reading the divine record of Noah and those of his day, we see that he acted differently from them. But did that mean that he was naturally superior and possessed some purity of heart? It is true, neighbor, that you haven't committed all the sins of others, and they did not do what you did either. But the fact of human sin remains. It is deeply rooted in every heart. When God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Were Noah and his family exempt from this verdict? They were not. for their lives had their wickedness, and their thoughts their evils. And when God said, the end of all flesh is come before me, that took in Noah as well as all the rest. And when God's word says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that takes in you and me and everyone else. When God says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there are no exceptions. When showing a Christian film, it showed some of the wicked ways before the man was changed by the grace of God, and it told how that much was too wicked to screen. But was that true only of that man? No, but true of every man. Your life and my life, our thoughts, desires, ambitions, and imaginations would be too indecent to put on any screen. This is human history, and it can only be changed by the grace of God. Noah needed grace. He realized it. Did he say, Lord, I'm different from others. It just isn't in me to do like they do. No, he did not. But he bowed as guilty before the divine verdict. The end of all flesh is come before me. He needed grace, he sought grace, and he found grace. Hear me now. There is grace for the guilty. I repeat that. There is grace for the guilty, but for none others. If you will find grace and mercy with God, then you must plead guilty and repent. God has never shown mercy to an unrepentant man, and he never will. There is grace for the guilty. In the Bible, we read how God will judge men according to their works. Would you like God to give you what you deserve? Neighbor, if you and I were to stand out before heaven and cry, O God, give us what we deserve, for thou art just, what would happen? Would an angel come down and escort us to heaven and crown us there? No, but an angel would smite us dead as one smote King Herod, and our bodies would be eaten by worms as was his, and you and I would be cast into hellfire. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. I've owned up to it. Have you? People like that need grace. That's right. Noah did, I did, and so do you. Neighbor, be honest. You'll never get converted until you get real down, right honest with God. God's word will only be fruitful as it finds an honest heart, as our Lord Jesus taught us. To be honest with God is to own up to your sin and guilt, for that is the honest truth. I plead with you to junk your old pride and hypocrisy and get honest with God and repent. Noah needed grace, and he sought it. But suppose the Lord said, Noah, how can I show you grace? I cannot favor you like you are my pet and judge others. Noah could only have answered, O Lord, I can't answer that big question, but wilt thou answer it? Man could never answer that big question. It challenged, stumped all human wisdom for 4,000 years. But God had the answer. In his infinite wisdom, God found a way whereby he could be just and still show mercy to repentant sinners. The answer is in one word. Hearken. It is Calvary. God wrote his answer not with pen and ink, but in the precious sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Noah found grace. Where? In that ark which typified Christ and Calvary. It was the expression of God's grace as it triumphantly rode the waves of judgment. Grace which kept all the waters of judgment out. Grace that preserved him while others were swept away in God's wrath. Grace that carried him safely through to the end. Neighbor, there's grace enough for you and me too in that great sacrifice of Calvary. For of it the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But some try to limit the grace of God to only a few, and they say, see, the Lord only invited Noah into the ark. It was only for him. Wait, what was Noah preaching for those 120 years? Supposing one had repented and asked to come into the ark, would Noah have said, no, you can't. The ark is just for me and my family. How ridiculous. His preaching was both a call to repentance and a message of salvation. Noah would have shown him that fine big ark and told him there was room for him. And if 100 had come, he would have said, "Wife, children, let's make room for them all." Neighbor, the grace of God is for you. Listen to God's word. The grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men hath appeared to all men. Whether they're behind prison bars, or a teenager fleeing justice, or an old sinner nearing death, the grace of God is unto all. God is irritated by those who try to build their own little fence around the grace of God. His grace is extended to all men, to you now. But what happens today? Just like in Noah's day, the gospel is preached and the warning sounded clear and plain. But instead of repenting of their sins and seeking the Lord, men plunge deeper into sin. God will be justified. Why did God have Noah preach so long when none responded? It was to leave them without excuse. Today the Holy Spirit is moving me to go, go, go. Pay, pay, pay. Do, do, do. I never labored harder and yet see so little accomplished. God is clearing his hands and those of his servants of the blood of all men. It will be a testimony against them in that day. When Noah preached 120 years and the Spirit of God strove with men that long, could they blame God or Noah and say, "God never gave us a chance"? And so it is with you. The gospel comes to you from pulpit and loudspeakers, over radio, by Bibles, tracts, and road signs. What is next? Listen, God is ready to judge. As in the days of Noah, judge this wicked generation, this adulterous generation, and that's not all, this Christ-rejecting generation. But let none think that the grace of God relieves you of your responsibility of action. You must do something. You must repent and seek God's grace. No one, neither angel nor preacher, can do this for you, and without it, you will perish with this obstinate generation. If you inquire, "Preacher, how do I do it?" Noah found grace. How did he go about finding grace? First, he realized he needed grace, God's grace, for he had discovered the inward wickedness of his own heart. In those awful outrages of wickedness unblushingly done by the men and women of his day, he saw himself, but for the grace of God operating in him. Let us visit Noah, that preacher of righteousness, as he cried out against man's wickedness, and as he declared the holiness and righteousness of God that would be demonstrated in the storm of God's wrath about to wipe all men from the earth. Two men listen, then one calls out, "Noah, you think yourself so much better than we are. You must be some angel, and when that flood comes, you will just fly up to heaven." Noah would be like Paul and Barnabas when people took them for gods. He would cry, "Men, you've got me wrong. I'm a man of like passions with you, but I don't live as you do. I have one wife and three sons, and they each have one wife. Here's the difference. I have confessed that I deserve God's judgment, and I have repented of my sins, and I sought God's mercy on me. Then he showed me his grace, and he told me to build this ark, and that ark would be my safety from his storm. If I thought I was so much better than you, I would not need an ark to shelter me. I would just stand out for God to exempt me from that storm. See that ark? That declares that I and my family deserve, with all others, God's wrath. But one day we shall each one enter that door, and by that act each one declares, first, I believe that storm is coming. Second, that I deserve it as do all others. Third, that my faith is only in that ark of safety. And fourth, that our God has no favorites. Others may repent of their sins and enter in as we have done." That's just the difference between the saved and lost today. I just heard of a man whom a relative thought was saved, but someone provoked him by telling him he was going straight to hell, and he got mad and turned away. If he had been a real Christian, he would have answered like this: I confess I do deserve to go to hell for my wicked sins against God, but Jesus my Lord has saved me. He died for my sins. He suffered what I deserve to suffer, and now I am safe in Christ Jesus my Savior, and I'm going to heaven and not to hell, for Jesus paid it all. Tell me, neighbor, when I tell you you're hell-bound, you get mad and won't listen anymore? As to myself, I have confessed thousands of times to God and to man that I deserve his wrath and hellfire for my sins. Hearken, neighbor, it is only hell-deserving sinners who become heaven-bound saints. I repeat that. It is only hell-deserving sinners who become heaven-bound saints. And Noah had a confession by his changed life that none could challenge. The grace of God saved Noah, and the grace of God operated in his life. First, separating him from the sinful world around him. Second, making him a fearless preacher of God's ark as the only place of salvation. Third, spurring him on to work, building that ark every hour of daylight, and to persist for 120 years. This is the true grace of God. It changes the life as Noah walked with God and not with the wicked world around him. Neighbor, have you found this saving and transforming grace in the eyes of the Lord as Noah did? Noah found grace, and our blessed Lord said, "Seek and ye shall find." Have you ever sought this grace from God? How do you expect to find grace if you do not seek grace? Do this. Get on your knees before God and spread out your wicked hands before him, confessing what sins you have done with those hands and feet. Bow your head before God, confessing those wicked thoughts and proud ideas of yours. Tear open your shirt, laying bare before God your desperately wicked heart with its evil desires and lusts. Confess, as his word says, that from your head to your toes you are corrupt with stinking sins, vile sins. Tell God that you deserve the utmost of his wrath. Tell him how you need his mercy and grace. Tell him how you need a Savior to rescue and change you. Then and only then will you find God's grace for you. Where? Noah found it in the ark of safety, and you will find it in Christ Jesus the Lord, of whom the ark spoke. Your eyes will open to see God's grace in the face of Jesus, for grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus as God's answer to all your need. Confess him as your Lord. Trust him as your Savior. Thus, you will find grace in the eyes of the Lord, as did Noah. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.